So let's get into how you can identify potential meme stocks so that you can stay away, or if you are going to play it, maybe knowing what it is for what it's worth so that you can have your exit strategy. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Financial Freedom Fast Lane. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about the three things to look out for to determine if your next potential investment is actually a meme stock so that you don't get caught up in the hype and potentially lose your shirt. The only time you want to lose your shirt is when you're at the beach and you've done your summer body workouts and you're okay losing your shirt. But you do not want to lose your shirt when it comes to investing because you simply picked a stock because everybody was talking about it. So we're going to get into that today as well. And also, guys, my birthday was yesterday, right? Real time, because this is airing on Monday, the day after my birthday. So that being said, I'm doing a big giveaway. I'm giving away $3,000 cash to anybody. All you have to do is buy something from the Melanin Money Store to be entered to win. And if you buy more than one item, it counts as an additional entry. So for example, if you go and buy from the latest drop of the Profit Collection, you can't really see it that well. There we go. Boom. Profit Collection. If you go buy that, right, that's an entry. But if you go buy a Profit shirt and a hat, that's two entries, so on and so forth. So if you want to enter to win $3,000, right, to maybe go on vacation, to pay off a bill, pay some rent, pay a mortgage, whatever, enter to win by simply going to shop.melaninmoney.com and grabbing anything from the store. All right, let's get into it. So first on the list, Netflix, or is it Facebook? Facebook, yes, is accused, or it was not just accused, it was actually found that they were selling data to Netflix, private data, right? It's no new information that these companies share data with each other, but it was new information to the public, or at least new to their awareness under the terms and agreements that they blindly signed to, that Facebook was selling your data to Netflix. So if you saw a Netflix movie that was strikingly similar to one of your real life scenarios, it might mean that they sold your DMs, right? So Facebook and Netflix had to settle that, obviously. But yeah, man. So like, again, here's the reality. If it's happening on a website or a domain or a platform or any medium of situation that you don't own, there's a strong chance that your information could be sold. There's a strong chance that your information could be compromised. And you just got to know that and accept that and be okay with it, and or be very mindful about the information that you're exchanging on these platforms, because at the end of the day, you don't own the platforms, right? So you can't be surprised if your information winds up somewhere else. Now, the reality is, for the most part, right, and maybe this is just an optimistic view, they're sharing your information to make more money off of you, right? They're not necessarily sharing your information to air you out or put you on blast or extort you for money beyond showing you ads that you thought you didn't search for so that you can buy something from that particular store. But beyond that, right, it's just they want the data because data is the new oil, and they want the information and information they can use that to do deeper segmenting and better marketing to get you to buy stuff where it feels like, oh my gosh, how did they know that I wanted this? Well, it's because they actually did. Next on the list is Coca-Cola. So many of you may have not known this, but I actually used to work for Coca-Cola back in the day. Yeah, I was in multicultural marketing. Well, it was really a fancy title, but like really like in the beginning, they had me like going and fixing kiosks and like little elements of store design, right? It was a part of the job. I remember like it was yesterday. I don't even know if I told my wife this story. I feel like I might've, but like, so the multicultural marketing role that I was supposed to have when I graduated, it was a really like solid role, right? It's like, okay, cool. You paid your dues as an intern and then you get this role and ultimately you'll be able to step into management, right? But in the beginning, I was doing a little bit of everything. I was driving around this Coke van, and we were slinging cases out the back of the van. It was crazy. But one day, she's my girlfriend at the time, I was in one of the like local grocery stores, just like restocking one of the shelves or whatever, right? So I wasn't like a stock guy, right? But like because I was responsible for the signage and just like how things look, if I saw something out of place, it was my job to fix it. And so I lie to you not, I'm literally in the store on my knees, like fixing and shuffling this this display. And she of all times comes to the grocery store and sees me at the store. Now, mind you, I'm like 1 year removed from college, and right, this is, you know, honest work. But in that moment, it just felt like, oh my gosh, did she think I'm like lying about my job being this multicultural marketing person? And in reality, I'm just adjusting displays in a grocery store. But it was a humbling experience nonetheless. And that's my memory of Coca-Cola. But anyways, enough about me and my memories of Coca-Cola. You didn't come for that. But Coca-Cola insiders are selling or sold $30 million worth of shares, which is making people wonder, do they know something that we don't know? Is there instability happening at Coca-Cola? And is that something to be on the lookout for, right? Coke has long been a value stock in recent years. So, you know, to the naked eye, nothing to be alarmed about. But, you know, $30 million worth of shares to by some regards is a substantial number. So some people might, you know, feel some type of way about that and wondering, like, should they do a deeper dive into the current trajectory of Coca-Cola? But my opinion, when you really zoom out and look at the numbers, the total insider ownership is literally less than 1%, I believe. And as a result, I mean, it's like less than a tenth of 1%, I believe. And so selling 30 million, excuse me, shares in the grand scheme of things is not a ton, but, you know, still worth, if you're a holder of Coca-Cola or you're bullish on Coca-Cola, it's still worth looking into to see if there might be clues or signs that there might be some weakness in the stock. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are moving into a much healthier generation, just people who are more health conscious. And so people might be saying, hey, maybe I need to ditch the Coca-Cola and opt for a sparkling water or something like that, right? Which I'm sure they own a sparkling water company as well. That's now we don't. When we talk about diversity, we typically are thinking about like sectors across the market, but sometimes we're not thinking about the individual company as a whole. And like, how are they diversifying their revenue and their ownership, right? So that if someone does think like, oh my gosh, like I should not be buying as much Coca-Cola. Yes, that would be a hit to Coke for sure. But if they own a water company, if they own a coconut water company, et cetera, that could still be beneficial as well. In other news, the Dow Jones closes down about 200 points, right? To start off April as news of Treasury yields pop. So the April is not a good start, which I'm not happy about because April is my birthday month, but the month got off to a rocky start. However, it's still very early. And I still think we can have a strong month when it's all said and done. But with the news of Treasury yields popping potentially, right, that has definitely sent stocks in a tailspin early on in the month. Nothing to be super alarmed about. As we know, the market's emotional moves on news. However, it is something to note that the month is not off to the greatest start. All right. So for my crypto bros, right, this is a busy quarter ahead as we prepare for Bitcoin halving, Ether ETF updates, and potential rate cuts, right? So a lot happening in the quarter that has the world of crypto very excited. Has their attention peaked because there's a lot of activity in the sector. So very excited to see what happens in the crypto world, especially with Bitcoin halving. As we know, crypto in general has been on a tear for the most part. Obviously, we've seen some leveling off. Crypto is always a volatile asset class. So we know that there's always going to be volatility. But crypto has definitely seen quite the spike in 2024. So we'll see if they can keep the trend going. All right. So in Apple news, right? Anybody knows me knows I'm a big Apple guy when it comes to the stock, namely because I'm a big Apple guy when it comes to the products. I'm recording this on a MacBook, glancing at notes on my iPhone that's propped up on my iPad. So safe to say I'm bullish on the company as a whole, which is why it became one of my biggest holdings early on. That being said, Apple has not had the greatest start to the year. One of the things that they've done is they've shifted their focus away from the EV market and have said to realign that focus to the robotics, home robotics to be specific, market, right? So Apple is working on some home robotics. So if you're looking for more automation and tools at the house, right, Apple might be working on that for you, right? Also, Apple is really looking to tighten their belt, because even when companies, every other company, it seemed like in the tech sector, was doing massive layoffs, Apple was one of the few companies that had no plans or no signs of weakening or layoffs in that regard. However, there is some news and grumblings that Apple is slated to lay off about 600 people, right? Which means that things are getting serious over there. They have to tighten their belt. They can't just have, you know, endless R&D budgets and say, hey, look, you can spend whatever you want on whatever, right? Nobody is invincible, and that includes Apple, even though their AirPod line of business makes more money than a lot of companies, right? So that being said, I have my eye on Apple. Obviously, I'm a long-term believer in Apple. Apple has served me well for an extended period of time. So even through some short-term fluctuations, I am still completely bullish on Apple as a company. Popular stock and company Eli Lilly is having trouble meeting the demands due to the surge in interest in weight loss drugs. And obviously they have one as well. And so they're struggling to meet the demand, right? And so like what we've seen with this, we can call it the Ozempic effect, is that it's really just influenced the market quite a bit, right? So Weight Watchers, for example, their stock reached an all-time low when Oprah announced that she was no longer going to be affiliated with the brand, namely out of integrity, right? Because naturally at this point, it's known and documented that Oprah has used Ozempic, and she looks good. It worked well for her. Now, we don't know the long-term side effects of these drugs, but at least externally, you got some people slimming down and losing some weight, right? But Weight Watchers, right, reported an all-time low in the stock. In addition to that, Eli Lilly, people are very bullish on the stock. Obviously, they can't even keep demand of their weight loss drug. And even Costco has got in the game, and now they're offering Ozempic prescriptions for $179, I think it is. So now when you go to Costco, not only can you get your favorite food samples and all of your favorite home goods in bulk, now you can get your favorite weight loss drug too, right? So everybody, it seems like, is getting in the game for weight loss. Now, again, what I really have my eye on are the companies that stand to benefit when all of this unravels. Because one of my favorite quotes, I think Albert Einstein said it, is for every opposite, for every action, there's an opposite but equal reaction, right? And we got to know that leveraging these weight loss drugs, right, if you're not truly diabetic, because that's what they're originally designed for, right, we've got to know that the side effects, the long-term side effects, there has to be some. We don't know what they are yet, but we will find out. The question becomes, what company is going to manufacture the drug to undo the side effects? It's such a vicious cycle, right? And I don't look at it from any other vantage point than understanding how it moves the market, right? I am not necessarily a fan, as I've mentioned, of the nature of the drug. However, I would be remiss if I didn't understand what companies and asset classes that you and I can invest in that stand to benefit from the craze, right? That's just the way the world works. You could hate Apple, but it would be foolish to not maybe own the Apple stock. You could not love Elon, but might be foolish to not take advantage of Tesla stock, right, being oversold right now, in my opinion. So that's my stake on it. Like, some people have, you know, their opinions, and maybe if you're an investor who, I think they call it, what's the term? It's escaping me right now. But if you're an investor who wants to align your interest and your values with what you invest in exclusively, then investing in some of these companies may or may not be for you. I could totally understand that, right? But if you're saying, hey, look, my goal is to be a profitable investor and then take those profits and do good in the world, then maybe there might be some companies that you have to invest in that sell products that you don't necessarily wouldn't use yourself, right? That's just the game. And now what I want to talk to you about is three hallmarks of identifying a meme stock, right? Because a lot of people, especially in the last couple of years, have gotten tricked out of their spot wanting to invest in things simply because it seemed very popular. It seemed like a lot of people were talking about it. And as a result, they didn't realize that they were investing in something that was not worthy of investing in, right? Not to say that you can't make money off of meme stocks, right? And a meme stock is basically just like something that like a lot of people are talking about, right? Like on the Reddit subreddits and the news. And it's just like, oh, like, is this really a good company? Or is it something that like is being overly hyped for no reason. One hallmark of a meme stock is it has like a religious, like cult-like following. Like, it's one thing to be excited and exuberant about the success and potential success of a company. It's another thing to have this irrational exuberance over a company for no given reason, right? And seemingly out of the blue. That is one of the major hallmarks of a meme stock. Like, why in the world is everybody talking about GameStop, right? Last time I checked, people could download the games directly on their console. So why is GameStop now coming back to the forefront? Why is BlackBerry being talked about right now, right? So those are key indicators that you might be dealing, or the first key indicator, I should say, that you might be dealing with a meme stock. The second indicator that you might be dealing with a meme stock is complete disregard for fundamentals. Right? When I say fundamentals, I mean, like, is this a company that when you look at its profit and loss statement, when you look at its balance sheet, which is all information is public record for publicly traded companies, hence the fact that it's a publicly traded company, like, is it a successful company? Like, is this a company that is worthy of buying? Am I seeing consistent increases in their revenue quarter over quarter and year over year? Right? Is it a profitable company? Is it doing well? Is the balance sheet healthy? If the answer is no, but everybody's talking about it, something isn't adding up, right? This company has been flat for several quarters. It's not performing well, whatever the case may be. Like, why all of a sudden does this particular company have all of this short-term, temporary, right? You didn't know at the time, but interest, like, where is it coming from? Likely because it's the latest meme stock that the lovely people over at Reddit, right, want to pump, right? Pump meaning piling money into the stock and then leaving some other sucker left to hold the bag, right? Now, the truth is, Wall Street has done this historically forever. The story behind all of this is that, Redditors want to take back, right, the power from Wall Street. And they say, you know what? If y'all can play with us and manipulate the stock market, so can we. And I get the sentiment. The problem is you're not institutions. You're not an institutional trader. You don't possess the same resources. And as a result, right, it could leave you in a very bad spot, which is why we saw people not being able to sell their position or buy into their positions at a given point with Robinhood, right? A couple years ago. Yeah, guys, these are the indicators that let you know, like, you think you have control, but you don't, right? So name of the game is, let me play the game how it's supposed to be played. Let me pay attention to what institutional traders are doing and let me see if I can ride those waves. But if I try to go against the machine and rage against it, I might get left holding the bag. And last but not least, higher than normal short interest. And what short interest means is that you are betting for the stock to fall, right? So you're betting for the stock to fall. Now, the normal short interest for typical publicly traded company is around 3 to 4%. High short interest might be like north of like 11%, right? So if you see a company with short interest as high as 11% or more, then you know something fishy might be aloof, right? Now, again, Wall Street has played this game for years where they will have these folks produce white papers on why a company is going to fail. And they're doing that so that they can short the stock. But they have at a level of access to information and resources that we just don't. But when people are doing it, right, the average retail trader or investor, we're trying to get together with some people on Reddit and say, hey, look, let's see if we can move the market, right? Let's see if we can pile into the stock and make it go up, or we can short this stock and make it go down, right? What's that song? I'm going down. When you see those types of things, those are like, all right, oh, okay, higher than normal short interest. Might be something fishy going here. All right. Complete disregard for fundamentals. That's alarming. And then a religious cult-like following for this company out of the blue. Yeah, I think we got us one. What's that Drewski meme? We got him.
Got him. We got him.
We got him. But yeah, guys, I share that information with you guys so that you guys don't get tricked out of your spot. Hope that this video as well. Hope these updates are helpful. And remember, freedom is for sale if you're willing to pay the price, y'all. So that's the reason why I do these shows, Financial Freedom Fast Lane, so you can get the information and news you could use to build wealth three times faster than traditional financial advice. If you found this episode valuable, make sure that you subscribe on the YouTube channel. Leave a comment. Let me know what you want to hear from me next. And I'll see you next week. Peace.